Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
Parents and teens aren't the only ones who can find themselves in control battles. Teachers and students can fall victim to the same control battle beast just as well. Today's Healthy Family Connections podcast, episode number 8, is called Ending the Teacher-Student Control Battle. It is sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and I'm your host, Neil D. Brown. And as you just heard, today we're talking about applying the principles from my book, Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle, to a middle school classroom. It's a question offered up by Jessica from Gainesville, Virginia. And of course, we all know this is an educational podcast to give you great strategies for achieving your dream of a healthy and happy family. It is not a substitute for psychotherapy when you need it. Well, here is Jessica's question. As a middle school teacher, I'm exposed to teachers who are sometimes burned out and lose the positive vision of certain kids. I think holding a positive vision of each student is important, and at heart, we all feel that way. But what privileges would you see a teacher withholding when we engage in the talk and outline our expectations? Jessica, you're asking a fabulous question since you're taking the concepts from my book, Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle, and applying them to a school and seeing a teacher-teen control battle as very similar. Well, of course they are. Well, many people reading my book talk with me about control battles in their marriage, which, by the way, I call the negative cycle, and work-site relationships. So control battles appear in virtually any relationship or can, and the point is that they're destructive. So thanks for stretching the concept and stretching me to think about application in a school environment. And since I don't work in schools specifically, I've done some research and talked with some experts in the field of classroom management and school discipline. My wife, Eileen Brown, Student Services Director for Santa Cruz City Schools, she's a fabulous resource to me and many others. And Joe Newman is author of a wonderful book, Raising Lions. And he is a parent and teacher classroom behavior management coach based in Los Angeles. So let's address your question. First of all, why does a teacher or a parent burn out in the first place? Well, one part of burnout is just doing too much for too long without a break. You know, we all need work breaks. We need balance in our lives. And for that, there is no substitute for taking care of ourselves, going out with friends, get to our yoga class, let go of perfection, get support, get out of town, breathe, get perspective. You can't go to the well and give from the well if the well is dry. So we've got to keep the well full, and that is our responsibility. But that's not really what we're here to talk about. The other part of burnout is the part created by the control battle, because control battles do create burnout, where the parent, and in this case, the teacher, keeps trying to get a kid to change their behavior, and the kid resists those efforts and continues the behavior. And when this goes on day in and day out, week in and week out, it will inevitably lead to burnout. And burnout is no joke. It leads to anxiety, depression. It lowers our ability to function well. You know, instead of feeling happy and excited, we feel tired, defeated, and disempowered. So in the control battle, a teacher is constantly frustrated as he or she faces the inevitability of another day of trying and failing to get Frankie to quit misbehaving and disrupting their class. Sorry for all you Frankies out there. I just chose the word Frankie, the name Frankie, for our example for today. Teachers put a lot of work into their curricula, and there's a lot of expectation on them to deliver results. So it's not at all surprising that eventually they'll see a chronically disruptive kid in a negative light. Well, let's think about this disruptive kid, whom I'm calling Frankie. He's motivated by one of a couple things, and maybe some of both. Now, one is attention, and the other is avoidance of the work. And some kids are immature, and they need and play for attention, and they'll accept negative attention just as well as positive attention. And some kids will act out to distract from the belief they have that they're going to fail. They don't know how to succeed, or they don't believe they can succeed. So how does this convert into a control battle? Well, the teacher is trying to get Frankie to change his behavior. Frankie knows what he's supposed to do, and he knows how to manage his behavior. Yet the teacher repeats the same directive over and over in an effort to get Frankie to change. The teacher is certainly frustrated and most likely talking in a negative tone and is in react mode to Frankie's antics. And Frankie is getting the attention he wants, albeit negative attention. So in a way, it's working for him. But I'm going to believe that he'd rather succeed and get positive attention. So let's see if we can create an ending the teacher-student control battle strategy and get the teacher and Frankie on a healthy path forward. Jessica, I really like the idea of having a version of the talk. And you ask about the privileges offered in the talk. Well, being successful in class and doing well in the course and getting recognition for that. That's really the privilege, and all the kids earn that by investing with their effort. We don't have special privileges, really. It's just doing well and being successful, and that's plenty rewarding. For those of you who have not read Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle, the talk is a way to push the restart button on your relationship and shift out of the control battle. So here is a version of how the talk might go. You might, you know, when Frankie's acting out per usual in class, you might ask for a few minutes of his time after class and have Frankie come up. And then when the two of you are alone, you might say, Frankie, I'm sure you're expecting to get bawled out by me and you're only half right. I'm here to bawl myself out too. Frankie, it's clear that you and I are struggling all the time. And I'm sure it's no fun for you, and I guarantee it's no fun for me either. This is not good for the class, it's wearing me out, and it's not helping you learn or be successful in class. And I might be hurting your feelings too. I want you to know that I'm really sorry for my part in this. I know you're a truly neat kid with good skills and talent, and I want you to be successful in this class, and I want to support you in being successful and enjoying this subject and the class. I want to turn this around. How about you? Well, let's assume that Frankie says yes, either half-hearted or otherwise, because I'm sure he's shocked and wouldn't know how to respond in any full-on positive way. But let's just assume that he's, you know, obviously he's going to be a little shocked and say, all right, well. And then you're going to say, well, Frankie, what do you need from me to end our unhappy relationship and start a successful one? Well, he might say nothing. I know what I'm supposed to do. I just, you know, da 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 da. Or he might say, well, Jennifer's always distracting me when I respond. And then I'm the one who gets in trouble and da da da. So in any case, you can encourage him to be open and tell you what's going on. And then make sure that he knows he can be successful and that there's a way for him to be successful, that you and he have a sense of what he needs to do and it's within his wheelhouse. He can do it and it's going to make him successful in class. So you've had that discussion. You've made amends. You said, look, I'm part of this. It's ridiculous. You don't need it. I don't need it. Let's fix it. Let's you and I be a team here. So that's what you're going to do in a talk. And now going forward, we need to stay focused on the positive and respond to his negative behaviors, which I'm certain there'll be some, without re-engaging the control battle. So let's start with the positives. Let's give him a couple of easy victories, ways to successfully be publicly successful in class. That's what we want. Maybe acknowledge a goal he scored in a soccer game, or maybe you asked him to do something with respect to the work in class and he did a nice job and you're going to present that to the class or have him present it to the class. Something to get him moving in a positive direction, getting positive attention in class. Now, whenever Frankie exhibits negative behavior, do not call him out for it. Make sure that what you give him is a neutrally stated instruction, such as, let's just say he's acting out in his seat. You might say, I need you to come up and sit here for now. So you're going to ask him to come up and sit in front of you. No moralizing, no challenging or identifying the behavior. He knows the expectation, so the rule of thumb is you don't tell them what they already know. Respond in a way that holds them accountable without judgment and without a negative tone. Simply that Frankie is having trouble not engaging his neighbor, and I'm going to help him out by changing his seat. If he does better tomorrow, he can stay there. In other words, it's in his court. The ball's in his court. In order to see a kid in a positive light, the teacher will need to commit to getting out of the control battle and stop trying to change their behavior. Remember, one of the three factors that drives a control battle is trying to change another person. That's the student's job to manage their behavior, and Frankie knows the expectations. They're pretty clear. The whole class gets it. Frankie gets it. So if the teacher needs help seeing the kid in a positive light, well, then they can talk to the student's other teachers, perhaps a teacher he or she is doing well with, and learn about or re-remember their wonderful characteristics. Where is this kid's strength? What's his passion? What's he good at? What does he like? And what qualities does he bring to it? Now, if he continues to disrupt after we've done some small things, you can have him go to either the counseling or the administration office, you know, where the secretaries know what's going on. You've talked with them. And just they can let him know that he can return when he's got his behavior under control. So we're giving him the message, you are in charge of your behavior. I'm busy teaching. That's what I do. I teach. You manage your behavior. I teach. It's pretty simple. Now, some teachers, I've heard, have a plan where they can ask a kid to bring a private note to another teacher that simply says Frankie needed a break, and then he returns a private note and returns to his seat, never acknowledging the bad behavior, simply disrupting it with giving the kid something seemingly positive to do. So I've heard that's a sneaky thing that some teachers have figured out to do. So teachers, if you find yourselves burning out, think control battle. And to address that, the main thing is to stay away from giving repetitive negative feedback or moralizing. Simply take small, neutral acts without judgment. The message is, it's up to you. If you want to stay in the seat of your choice, for instance, behave there. If you want to stay in class, manage your behavior and do the work. I'm here to teach and help you learn. I like you, I respect you, and I'll help you succeed. Managing your behavior is entirely up to you. Well, thanks for being with me today, listeners. I want you to remember to take care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. And that's it for today. Don't forget to send in your questions. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit. And enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parenting Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.